Well, let's summarize some things and we'll close down here. I am free, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Now, that's a summary of what we're trying to get at. It's a process. That's not an event picture. How do you become all things to a religious person? All things to a son-in-law who's bitter and mad at everybody? How do you become all things to a yuppie couple who they're materially successful and have it all together, but their marriage is in crumble? You know, Mark and Rochelle and I driving up were talking about a couple they know, and he's a dentist. I think he's an oral surgeon, isn't he, Mark? And you say, and their marriage is, you know. We talked about how they could get involved in that relationship and make a difference. All around us, we need to find someone where God's planning you to reach out. And don't hurry the process. If you think about this, it's a difficult statement. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. What does that mean? You ever talk to an addict? Just having trouble with drugs, can't get over it. Talked to a girl one time. She says, why do I keep getting in these stupid relationships? And then the next time I saw her, she was in another stupid relationship. How do you help a weak person? Conversion is there's a good way to define conversion. Come out with your hands up. I surrender. You know when your person's ready to become a Christian? God, I can't do this anymore. I can't make it on my own. I can't do it. I surrender. There is no conversion intellectually. You have to convert the will and the heart. There has to be a surrender to be a conversion. And for there to be a repentance, there has to be a recognition. Repentance means to turn around. It means that way is not working. I need to find the way with God that works. And I've watched your life and your life works. That's what we're doing with people. The reason Mark and Rochelle can help this couple is God's helping them in their marriage. And this couple will see, wait a minute, something, you guys have something we don't. How did you get that? That's a relational process. What it means to go to the weak is you go be with them. Listen to them. You know, part of the problem with this type of ministry is it's chaotic. You will have such a mess in some of these people as you walk through with the weak. In the Navigators, we used to pride ourselves on putting on our track shoes and running the marathon. We would challenge men, put on your track shoes, run with us, memorize, do Bible study, pray, get up at 6, disciple men. You know, the last 20 years, particularly in Spain and coming back here, we're not discipling among the strong anymore in America. We have to learn how to disciple among the weak because there's not many strong. How many of you remember the movie Top Gun? Tom Cruise, late 70s, a movie came out. Well, we're in Spain. My last ministry in the United States was at a place called Cherry Point, Marine Corps Air Station, fighter pilots. We used to have the same statement about fighter pilots as we do doctors. You can always tell a doctor, or you can always tell a fighter pilot, you just can't tell them very much. And so we worked with these fighter pilots, and they were the top gun. These guys were crazy. But when they came to Christ, you didn't have to get them in gear. They're already in gear. You just had to change direction. So when we were in Spain, it was a totally different culture. We used to say in America about 10% of the men were achievers. In Spain, barely 1%. It's a matriarchal society. The men are passive. And I saw this movie, Top Gun, with Betty and some of the Spanish students. And I'm watching this, remembering these men that we'd worked with, the Marines, these pilots. And I wept in the movie. Betty says, "What's wrong with you? You're weeping over Tom Cruise?" I'm not Tom Cruise. I'm longing for some men. But what Paul means, to the weak, I became weak. We have to start where people are. We have to go be with them. John 1:14 will summarize this one picture. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the literal word is tabernacled among us. Who do you tabernacle among that are lost? Who do you spend time with? 90% of sowing and living among the lost, you know what it is? It's being with them. 90% is just spending time with people, and things happen. We were training a group of couples, and one of the wives was very nervous. She said, "I don't know, Doug, this seems really hard." And I said, "Well, just go meet a neighbor. Don't do anything. Don't have a goal. Just go meet a neighbor." So there were some new neighbors next door. She went the next day, knocked on the neighbor's door, and says, "I just wanted to meet you and see if you wanted to have coffee." And the lady says, "Oh, I've just been dying to meet somebody. I haven't met anybody in this neighborhood." So they go over to her house and have coffee. The lady breaks down and starts crying. "My husband is cheating on me. We're getting a divorce. I don't know anybody. I'm miserable." Well, within 2 days, this gal had come to Christ. You don't know where people are until you spend time with them. This girl was totally unprepared to lead her to Christ. She calls me, "What do I do?" You know. But what did she do? She just went next door. We're not asking you to become an evangelist or even a navigator staff. We're just asking you to go across the street or go have coffee, greet people, talk to people, and watch what God does. God is far more concerned for the lost than you and I are. Far more loving. God's not willing that any should perish. Remember, go back and learn what friendship is. What do you want in a genuine friend? That's what a non-Christian wants. What is the number one need in our culture? Loneliness is one of the biggest issues in our culture. People long for friendship. They long for connection. McDonald's has learned you can't hire a millennium generation kid by himself. You have to hire 5 or 6. Why? Because these kids don't grow up in a family or community. They want work to be their community. The big need, people, is community. I hope this has been encouraging to you. My passion is the gospel, but the real issue is ask God just to give you the strength to go across the street. Don't try to be this great soul winner. Just say hi to your neighbor. Ask people for a cup of coffee. Ask someone over for dinner. Just enjoy people. And why don't we close in a word of prayer and enjoy our time here. Father, we are grateful for the fact that you pursued us, that you came down from heaven, that you didn't give up on us, that you stayed after us. We're grateful that you became a friend of sinners. We're grateful while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, you did all the work. You pursued us. You came after us. You sent people to us. You drew us to yourself. You touched our heart. Lord, let us be people like that. Send people to us. Lord, I think of John 17, where you thank the Father, say, "Father, I thank you for these men that you gave me." Lord, we know you're in the people giving business. You know who's ready. You know who's suffering. You know whose heart needs love. Lord, we pray for each person here that you would send somebody to them. Give them boldness and courage just to go across the street, to say hi to someone, to invite someone for coffee. Lord, help us all make new friends. Lord, help us be a friend. Lord, I pray that you would bless each family here. And Lord, help us learn to reach our own family and our friends. Thank you for this time in Christ's name. Amen. One quick story. About 7 years ago, I heard one of our staff guys talk about that he had decided to try to reach his family. And that was one of his focus. And that so touched my heart. Almost none on either side of my family, mom or dad, are believers. And so I thought, you know, I'm probably the only believer in my family, or almost the only believer. So we begin to make a concerted effort. I have 56 cousins on my mom's side. She came from a family of 13. And so it's been years and years since I've had contact with them, although most of them I've sent my newsletter. So we begin to try to connect up and organize a family reunion about 5 years ago. And so we've done 3 family reunions. I just want to share with you the power of just being with family. The last in May, we had a family reunion in southeastern Oklahoma. 4 or 5 of my cousins have come to Christ. Unbelievable, the dynamics between the first family reunion and the last family reunion. And we did a mission trip this summer to Montana to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. And part of my cousins, one part of my family, are Choctaw Indians. And I have a couple of cousins that are half Choctaw. And so one of my cousins, Mildred, she won the California lottery a couple of years ago. She won $10 million. She's not a believer. So kind of half in jest, I approached Mildred, and she's very close about the gospel. But she and I are close, and so I said, Mildred, why don't you make a gift to help us go up and reach the Blackfeet with the gospel? And she says, I can't stand those Indians. They're losers. And I said, Mildred, you're an Indian. I know, but that's different. So anyway, we begin to talk. She sent a large gift to help with the mission project. And I called her and I said, Mildred, what are you doing? You said you weren't doing it. I know, but I started thinking about it. I really love what you're doing, Doug. Wow. She was the tough externally. Reach your family. You may be the only one with God. What if you made a mission to talk to all your cousins and your friends? Just reconnect to love them. What would happen in America if we just reached one other family member? We're adept at getting strangers and acquaintances. If the gospel doesn't work in our family, where's it going to work? If we get the whole world to Jesus and lose our kids, are you going to be happy in heaven without your kids? I get so excited about this thing of reaching our family. Ask God to give you a burden and a plan, a way just to connect with your family. Thank you all. The Lord bless you. And David, I'll turn it over to you.
That's fine. We're dismissed. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.